title this morning is called Greater Glory. Greater Glory. Can you say glory?
Glory.
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 Bible says, let everybody in his house shout glory. 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 Listen, we're destined for greater glory. We're not destined to just barely get a by on barely getting by street. You're not destined for the bottom of the barrel. No, you're children, sons and daughters of God Almighty. We're above. We're not beneath. We're victorious. We're not underdone. Amen? We're going over. Listen, when we start getting in the right path and moving with God, man, I'll tell you what, you'll reach some adversity. I'm not going to lie to you about that. There's adversity. But when you're trusting in God, man, I mean, you can sail right through it. You can sail right through the adversity. We've been going through all kinds of adversity, but we're sailing right through it. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Let's look at the first thing we have to do is we have to recognize and start here. What I have here, thinking we have to do. You don't have to do enough. There's not enough that you can do to get God to love you. There's not enough. You can't work your way into his love. You can't work your way into his good graces. You can't do it. I can't do it. Thinking that there's things that we have to do keeps us focused on the natural. It keeps us focused on, well, if something goes wrong, well, what did I do? How did I cause this to happen? What, I don't understand. No, it's not what you do that causes God's grace or God's favor on your life. It's him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read this passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 10. Listen, if something is a gift, that means you didn't pay for it, right? Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now what do I keep telling? What do I keep saying? You're not a sinner. We're not dead anymore. We're not, we're alive. We're alive in God. We're dead in, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Listen, that's how we used to be. That's not who we are anymore. And we're by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead together, dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, we were dead in trespasses, and he made us alive together in Christ. Is that what your Bible says? Am I making this up? No, that's what the Bible says. That's what he said. And we have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Listen, this is a free gift. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. I didn't do penances. I didn't do the rosary beads. I didn't walk on hot coals or lash my back. There's no amount of good works that we can do. You can't give enough free food out. You can't. You can't give enough shoes out to people without shoes. You can't do enough of it to earn salvation. Those things of giving food to the poor, giving shoes to those without shoes, those are works that we do because of the gift that God gave us. He doesn't even force us to do it. It's something that he will put on our hearts, that he will lead us to do. But they're not things that we do that cause us to be saved. You can't give away enough free shoes. You can't do it. There's no amount of giving away. You can't give all of your worldly possessions and be saved. There's no amount of doing it. It's a gift. When I give my kids a gift, they don't ask me, what do I have to give you for it? What do I have to do to receive it? What do I have to do to keep it? There's not an addendum to it. There's not another clause on it. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. We can't earn it. And I see people all the time. They think that it's their mission to point out when somebody else is doing something wrong. Do you know who's really in error when you're pointing out somebody doing something wrong? Come on, Jesus said, pull the log out of your own eye. Come on. There's not a gift in the Bible of tearing others apart to make yourself look good. There's not a gift in the Bible of pointing out wrong doctrine. Come on, that's all part of teaching. If you're in the church and you've got a Bible-believing pastor who preaches the Bible will fix wrong doctrine. Because the Bible, Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. The Word preached will fix error. The Word received will bring life. Tearing somebody else down won't. Number two. Listen, He loved us so much that He died for us while we were in opposition to Him. Can you believe that? While you were opposed to Him, while we were in darkness, while we were sinning, He was dying for you. While you were rejecting Him, He was loving you. Listen, this is a good message. The gospel is good news.
Right.
Come on, let's look at it. Romans 5. You know, when I got here, I thought, well, I need to have fancy PowerPoints. Keep people's attention focused up here. Listen, if the Word of God can't keep our attention focused, then we've got bigger problems than PowerPoint. Right? All right. Sorry. No, not really. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen, when you were ungodly, when you were without God, when I was without God, Christ died for me. Does that sound like something I earned? You can't earn something that's done for you like that. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Most of us would, if it meant saving our children or saving our spouse, I would gladly give my life for my children. I'd gladly give my life for my wife. Maybe if it was going to save all of you too. But it's not up to me. I didn't have to do it. Jesus did it. Come on. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, listen, much more, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, say it with me, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Come on, that's good news. Hey, when we were ungodly, when we weren't serving God, He had died for us. How much more now will He help us that we're saved? How much more now? And He's not asking for us to perform good works. He just says, how much more now? How much more now will He do for you? How much more now is He willing to help us? Come on, when we're going through trials, how much more is He there for us now? Come on, He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, but on the just, how much more? Come on, He says, how much more will He not help those who are saved by His life and give them life? Right? We were opposed to God. We were sinners. But he reconciled us. Listen, reconciled, this is a fun word. If you work with numbers at all, or if you balance a checkbook, and all your incoming and all your outgoing equal the same amount, and your books are balanced, they call it reconciled. It's reconciled. When the books balance, they're reconciled. That means you don't owe anything. You're not behind. You're not indebted. Everything's balanced. It's all reconciled. We're all reconciled with him. There's nothing else needed to be done. We're reconciled. The bank account is balanced. I don't owe him anything else. He himself balanced the books. I had a debt I couldn't pay, and he paid it in full. It's a gift. I can't earn it. I can't do anything to make it happen. He already did it. It's like somebody comes in, looks at your bank accounts, sees how much you owe, and puts that much money in your accounts and pays everything off. Your deed is, it's done. You don't owe anything else. You can't be good enough. There's no reparations needed. He did it because he loves us. There's nothing else. Nothing else we have to do. Nothing else we need to do. The only thing, someone said, well, he died so that we could serve him. No, he died because he loved us. He wanted to reconcile us. He wanted a family. He seated us together in heavenly places with him. We're not underneath his feet. He balanced it out. He balanced it out. We've been reconciled. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, 8. Let's look at Matthew 10, 8 real quick. It's important to see things. Start in verse 7, I guess. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. There's not a requirement of giving back. He freely gave so we can freely give back. Whatever he gave us, we can now give. Our goal is the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. We've talked about that before. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Our goal is to go out and help reconcile the books for other people. To take the message, he died for you. He paid the price for you. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. If you can look that verse up so we have that. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's in one of the books of Corinthians. Number 3. He made us his righteousness. I talked about that. 1 Corinthians 5:21. He himself became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because he took on your sin, the very nature of sin, it doesn't say he took your sins, the things committed, but the sin, the nature that caused the necessity for having your books balanced. The sin that happened there in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they went into rebellion. That rebellion is passed on genetically. It's passed on spiritually to the offspring. Every single one of us, whether you've been good your entire life, never broken the law, never sped. Come on, I mean, that's hard to do over here on Pony Express Trail, I'll tell you what. In that 35-mile-an-hour zone, it is hard, right? It's hard. You just almost got to set cruise control for 35, and then I just feel silly doing that. But even if you'd never broken a single law, the heredity from our parents, Adam and Eve, is carried on in us spiritually. We're in darkness, we're in rebellion. But when we're made right again, we're just right. Right as rain, baby. Right as rain. You can't get any more right, but you can work with him who made you right. And do the things. Listen, Jesus said, I only do those things I see my Father doing and speak those things I hear my Father speaking. Listen, if it was important to him and we're supposed to be called Christians, which means little Christ-like ones, how much more important is it for us also then to do those things we see him doing and to speak the things we hear him speaking? That's what set Jesus apart. He said, I only do those things He says, and I only do those things I see him doing. Come on. Romans 5:1. Can't say pastor makes stuff up. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with him. We've been reconciled, and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I have peace with him. I'm not at odds with him. I'm living at peace with God. I'm living at peace in him. Peace. I mean, there's no necessity for works of the flesh to make things happen for us. That doesn't mean you go out and do whatever you want. That's not what that means at all. Listen, if somebody freely gives you something that valuable, you want to stick close to them. We're supposed to be changed from image to image, faith to faith, glory to glory. Even as in him. I'm in him now. I'm seated with him. Listen, if you're seated with him in heavenly places, you're not going to go out and do some of the things you used to do. You don't. You're seated with him. Good grief. I mean, if you think about it, he's constantly right there. What are you going to do? You want to obey him. We want to freely give what we have freely received. Freely we have been given. Freely we give. He gave us love. We give love. He gave us grace. We give grace. He gave us peace. We give peace. You ever walk into somebody's house and you think, man, you just walk in, it's just something like, you just feel uneasy and uncomfortable there. And then other places you walk into, it's just like, wow, this is nice. I just sit here and chat with these people. And I mean, it's just peace. I guarantee you the difference. There's strife in one house, peace in another. We have peace with him. With him, there's peace. There's that calm of knowing that no matter what happens, he's got us. There's peace. No matter what trial we're facing, there's peace. He's got your back, baby. He's with you. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, he goes before us, and he is our rear guard. Man, I mean, he just encompasses round about us. He's got you. He's not waiting around the corner with the baseball bat. That's the devil. The devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give life, and that more abundantly. If it's killing, stealing, or destroying, it's the devil. If it's bringing life, it's God. It's easy. It's a simple reconciliation. Good grief. Look what time it is. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if you, being evil, can give good gifts. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 11. Now people would get offended. Well, Jesus said we're evil. Well, without Jesus, we are evil. Luke 11, starting in verse 9. It's in red in my Bible, so I'm fairly convinced that means Jesus was speaking. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13. If you then, being evil by what comparison? By God. I mean, compared to God. And he's talking to unsaved right here. These are the disciples he's speaking to. There was no salvation. There was no born again yet. Okay? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? If I can give my kids good gifts, how much more is he wanting to give you good gifts? How much more is he wanting to give us good things? People say, well, you know, you can't fall for all that doctrine of you know, just this prosperity and God just wants you healthy. Well, why not? I think the Bible's pretty clear about it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your souls prospers. You know, listen, people have made wealthy people feel bad for being wealthy. But that's what God wants. He wants you healthy and wealthy. I mean, if you want your kids to grow up and not suffer through sicknesses and diseases and poverty and homelessness, how much more does God want that for us? We're his children. He wants us to have the good things. He wants us to have a good life. He did everything for us to make it possible. There's nothing. There's Ephesians 1. Totally off notes again. Here we go. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Does that sound like somebody who's trying to hold something back from you? No, he's not trying to hold anything back from us. Listen, but I'm not going to give the keys to my car to my 12-year-old. For starters, she's not tall enough. There's a certain maturity level. See, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, if you don't know, see, the unbeliever out there in the world doesn't know that Jesus died for them. Salvation isn't put on them. It's something that is received. Healing isn't forced on us. It's something you have to receive. Everything God has for us, there are things that are in the spirit realm. We've talked about this. I'm a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul. Spiritually, I have everything I need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's up to me to obtain it. It's up to me to receive it. It's up to me to grow in the things of God. I'm so glad that I can't look at somebody and hear from the Holy Ghost, you lied to God. Now the same men who carried out your husband are carrying you out. Because I wouldn't trust myself with that kind of thing right now. But see, that's the kind of the exact same thing that happened in the book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira sold land. They could have told them for how much and said, but this is what we believe God told us to give. And it would have been okay, but they lied. They lied about how much. Why lie to God? He already knows. Why lie to man? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. See, God wants us to grow up. He's waiting for us to grow up. He's expecting. He's helping. He's giving us everything we need so that we can grow up. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, Romans 8:31 through 39 tells us that we are more than conquerors. Listen, there's nothing that can separate us from his love. Not one thing can separate us from his love. Let's look at that. Oh, he's so good to us. He's so good to us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. You get that? I mean, he's just freely given us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Is it God who justifies us? Who is it who condemns us? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? In other words, God isn't waiting to condemn you. He's not waiting to judge you. He's not waiting to be harsh with you. He gave you the salvation. He gave you the free gift. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing ever, ever, never, 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 nothing can ever, never, never, ever, ever separate us from the love of God. It doesn't matter if you woke up this morning and the first thing you did was commit some egregious sin. Listen, God doesn't stop loving us any more than we stop loving our children when they mess up. Nothing can separate us from his love. In him, we are more than conquerors. Listen, it'd be great if I was just a conqueror. It'd be great if I was just victorious. But he said, you are in him more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Whatever comes upon us, hey, it may look like we're being sheep led off to the slaughter. But even in that, I'm more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in him. It may look like I'm headed for death, but even in death, can death destroy me? Where am I going when I die? I'm going to heaven. That's our destination. So even if they kill your mortal body, what difference does it make? To live is to be with Christ. To die is to be with Christ. We're with him either way. It's just death is just a veil. It's just a slim veil that separates us between here and eternity. Listen, when you got born again, you entered into eternity anyway, baby. You entered into your eternity. You entered into the heavenly things that God has for you. All the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Oh, come on. He's so good to us. No matter what kind of trial, not a single one of us has ever suffered to the point of bleeding when we sweat. I mean, to sweat drops of blood the way that Jesus did there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not a single one of us has ever resisted temptation to that point. Not a single one of us. But he did. He resisted temptation not to go to the cross for you, sweetie. For every single one of us. He did it. He resisted temptation. So great was the temptation and the resistance to it that it's recorded that he sweated drops of blood. He was so much anxiety and the weight and the pressure of sin, of the sin of mankind and the separation from his Father was coming on him so greatly that it caused him to sweat great drops of blood. But he suffered through that for you. 1 Peter 1:7, what says, when we go through trials, it's the testing of our faith. It's the resolve of our commitment when we go through trials. Do you trust him in the trials? Listen, he went through that trial for us. He was put on trial and persecuted. They beat him. They separated him from his father. Our sin separated him from our Father. They took his clothes and they sold them in front of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, mocking him. Have you ever been through a trial like that? No. If he can go through that trial for us, we can go through any trial. It's the testing of our faith that shows our resolve and our commitment to him, no matter what we're facing. You're like a sponge. We're sponges. When we get squeezed by the trial, we find out what comes out. What's the first thing out of your mouth? Let me tell you a story about Vic Victory and Terry Trial. You ready for a story about Vic Victory and Terry Trial? Terry Trial is just barely moving along in life, trying her best to serve the Lord. Oh, she just tries real hard, and she's at church all the time, and she's doing all the stuff she thinks she's supposed to do. And she starts heading towards this mountain, this trial in front of her. And she's just convinced that this might be it. This might be the thing that undoes her entire life. And she heads towards that trial, and she starts going up that hill of that trial. And her engine is starting to overheat. And she's thinking, I'm going to have to get out and push this car over the hill. And about the time she gets to the top, she's just reached her limit and kind of slides off over to the side, pulls up next to the gas station, and goes in and tells about how hard this trial was. Oh, I didn't think I was going to make it. Oh, I thought for sure the car was going to die. Oh, it was so hot. And I had to stop and I had to put water in the radiator. It's a good thing I had that bottle of water to put in the radiator. And she tells everybody about how hard that trial was. A little bit later, Vic Victory, he's got his CD player, and he's worshiping the Lord, and he's been reading his Bible, and he comes along and he sees this mountain. I don't know about you, but we used to live near the Conejo Grade. And man, if you don't hit that going a little bit above the speed limit, you're not making it. And he sees the trial coming ahead. And he just punches the pedal to the metal, right? You punch the pedal to the metal and you get over that mountain. He comes up over that mountain. He's going. He starts at 90. He's at 85, 80. He's reaching the top of the mountain. And he gets to the top and he just glides on down. Says, well, I'm going to stop and get a soda at the gas station. He walks in and everybody's talking. Oh, how was it? I know that trial can be so hard. And Vic Victory says, no, I just put my trust in Jesus. I put my faith in Him. And I flew over that trial. I flew over it, man. I hit that thing at full speed, and I came up, and I'm telling you what, I got the victory over this thing. It didn't take the life out of me. It didn't strain the life out of me, but I came over, and I got plenty of life left in me. Why? Because He put first things first. He put Jesus first. He knew going into that thing that He's going to need to be ready. He had the worship music on. He had the Word of God going. Right? And he went into that thing. Man, he got to the top. He'd started slowing down. But he slid just right onto the other side. He didn't even smell like smoke. His car didn't even overheat. In this life, you can be Vic Victory or you can be Terry Trial. I'm not going to be Terry Trial. Listen, we've had some trials. But we've got the victory, baby. You know the old song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Come on. Hallelujah. Stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give Him some thanks today. Thank you, Jesus. Give Him some praise. The lips, the fruit of your lips giving praise. Praise you, Father, that you're there with us. Thank you in the times of trials and temptations. You're there with us. Oh, we choose to be Victory today, not Terry Trial. We choose to prepare ourselves and to be ready to face the things that life is going to put in our way. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. You've given us all the things we need, all the equipment we need, all the help we need. We thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, right now, I just bless every person here. I speak life. I speak health. I speak prosperity. I declare jobs, jobs, and better jobs. Promotions. Promotions. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.